for your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Without your goodness, I would be desperate. Without your love, slave to the darkness. If it wasn't for the cross, you have won me with your kindness. Chase me down when I was lost. Where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood,
such an awesome God, so selfless.
so good. We're in awe of you. We love you. Such an awesome God, so mighty, so holy, so wonderful. Such an awesome God, so selfless, so generous, so faithful you are.
Father, thank you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you, Lord God, that you're here with us. And Lord, that you promised you would never leave us or forsake us, Lord, even in the midst of battle, war, evil that's rising. You are our Father, you are our God, you are our refuge and our fortress, our Redeemer and our Deliverer. And Lord, we will delight in you. We will seek your face. God, we will love you with all of our heart no matter what comes, no matter what we have to walk through, no matter what happens around us, Lord, we have chosen you above all else. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for us through your cross, through your atoning death there, the power of your resurrection, and how, Lord, you just continue to move in our lives. Lord, even when we're struggling, Lord, you keep moving in our lives. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Wow. Good to have everybody this morning. Sound systems do weird things. I don't know what it is. Crackling and popping, which is weird. I want you to take your Bibles out this morning and turn to Psalm 27. I really didn't figure out which way to go until a few minutes ago. Though this morning, early this morning, I was going through a particular Facebook page that has a lot of information. I can't believe Facebook still has allowed it to be up. It's a Canadian page that's posting all these vaccine injuries and deaths, just one after the other after the other. It won't be around long. There was an American one that was had about 120,000 members in it, and they were posting, I mean, personal, either their family or someone they knew, and they were posting these things about these COVID-19 vaccines, and sure enough, Facebook took it down. So I don't know how this Canadian one's staying up as long as it has, but I'm trying to capture everything that I can from it. But one thing I can tell you in the research that I've been doing and looking into, this is evil, man. This is so evil what they're doing. This is worse, I think, than anything we've seen in our lifetime, except maybe for the abortion issue. Because they're just killing people. Just killing people with a poison, and you say, well, not everybody who gets it dies, and that's just a few. I mean, have you become hardened like these Nazis? It's supposed to be helping us, right? It's supposed to help. And people are dying. And this morning as I was looking at it, I have even recorded videos, testimonies. I mean, a young man in Ohio, I think he was getting ready to, he was an athlete, perfect health, going to Ohio State, and took the Pfizer vaccine. And now his heart is inflamed, enlarged, his body's deteriorated, his whole life's ruined. I read another one about a fighter pilot in his 20s, took it. His vision is gone. His career is over. But that's not, that's just a few things. I saw some women who were one paralyzed from the neck down, one crippled, can't walk. It's insane. And these are in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands. And we know that they're not telling us the whole truth. They never do. But I think about this, and then I read, I just typed in my phone this morning, which I left at home. I just typed in mandate. Just type that in. And what you'll see across all the news agencies is how they're going to make us take this poison. Everyone. They're going to mandate it. And they're talking about this on every, I mean, you look at every news outlet is talking about this. They're going to mandate it. Now, when it gets mandated worldwide or for us in America, nationwide, I don't know. I don't have a time frame on that. But isn't it amazing? It just seems like this evil is rising and it's getting stronger. And the war, and they know, the war is really against the church, the saints. They even have articles. I've read articles recently where it says that the evangelical Christians are the most resistant to the vaccine. Yeah, that's because we read the Bible. That's because we know history. And we know not to trust evil governments, especially in the last days, right? It's unreal. And I know some of you are about to lose your job because you're not going to take the vaccine. Some of you, your whole life's about to be turned upside down because you will not submit to this tyranny, to this poison, to this playing around with our God-given DNA. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I know most of the people, many people that listen to us are not going to do it. I'm hearing from people from all over, Canada, the United States, different countries of the world, that I'm not doing it. And I don't even get it. You know, I'd rather take my chances with COVID-19, whatever it is, or Delta, Lambda, Veda, whatever, you know. I'd rather take my chances with that than get a shot and not be able to walk or lose my vision or have uncontrollable tremors and shaking or maybe be dead and leave my wife and daughter behind. Why would I want to take that risk? And why would they hide that risk from us? Unless they're just plain evil. They're just plain evil. I want to read this in Psalm 27 because I know some of you are feeling overwhelmed by all this. And, you know, the Lord didn't tell us there would be no suffering or persecution. He even told us that the persecution would begin really with financial. It would be financial. You won't be able to buy or sell. We'll talk about that more in a second. But Psalm 27, I want to encourage you this morning. Because this is what we must focus on. Even though this evil and this war is rising against us. So let's read this from verse 1. It says here, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" So if you're fearing all this, stop the fear. Let the Lord be your light and your salvation. Then he says, "The Lord is my strength," or "the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" This is something as Christians we have got to reestablish ourselves in, that the Lord is the strength of our life, and we will fear no one or nothing that's coming upon us. Even if we have to lose a job, even if we have to move, even if we have to change our whole lives to do his will or to stand against this evil, we're willing to do whatever's necessary. But in that process, the Lord is my strength. He is my life. He is my whole life. Not what job I have, not my house, not my cars, not my money, not my status, but the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is my the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. We're going to see some of that. This is verse 3. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. What's he going to be confident in? As the war rises against him. Because we are overwhelmed, people. There are more against us. We are the remnant. We are the few. We are the minority in this resistance against this Antichrist beast system that's rising, this tyranny. What will we be confident in? Here it is, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What does that mean for us? Of course, David was talking about being in the tabernacle that he erected and being in the presence of the Lord. And he was talking about the glory of the Lord and the beauty of God's presence in the Holy of Holies. But for us, that is our relationship with Jesus. That is our intimacy with him. That is our closeness with him. That is where we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So he's not saying that this war is not going to rise against us, or that we're going to have this. We're going to have this. This battle's not going away. This war's not going away. The host that is rising against us, they're not going away. But he says what we need to be confident in is that we are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And if you're going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, what does that mean? You have to be pretty close to it. It says if you're under his wing, that means you're pretty close to him. And folks, let me just say right now, according to James 4:8, he says this pretty clearly. He says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. What's going to matter in these days is how close are you to the Lord, and can you hear his voice, and do you trust him no matter what? Some of us are going to lose everything. That's okay. Sometimes that needs to happen because we're so attached to our things. I went through this. I've told this story. End of 2001, 2000, I lost everything. My church, my job, my income, my house, my car. It was rough. But I'm glad the Lord took me through that. Because I found out that I could still walk with him and make it through something like that. Because what it did was it ripped away everything, and all I had was him. But some of us, because we're so attached to our stuff and our way of life and our comfort, if those things got taken away, we would lose our minds. But all that shows is we're not close enough. We got to get closer and closer. Really, to tell you the truth, between last night and this morning, all I could feel from the Lord was, draw near to me. You're going to need me. Draw very near. Let me read that again in verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So that talks about prayer. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. In the time of trouble, folks, the time of trouble is here and it's going to get worse. But in the time of trouble, it says, he will hide me. What does that mean? He's going to rapture me out of here? No. He's going to hide me in his pavilion. That means his house. In this sense, he said, in the secret of his tabernacle. What's he talking about there? You know what the secret of the tabernacle of Moses, you know what the secret was? It was all about Jesus. Everything in the tabernacle of Moses was about Jesus. You go inside the tabernacle, what did you have? The table of showbread, right? The bread of presence, it was called. Well, that represents, we know what Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And it's his presence that we need. That's why it was called the bread of presence. That was just one piece. The other was the lampstand. And it gave light in there, and it had oil and fire. What's that? That's the Holy Spirit. And then you had down at the end, right before you entered the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle of Moses, you had the altar of incense. Let's look at that. Jesus is our light. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He gives us his Spirit. He fills us and will refill us. And then there's that altar of incense. That speaks of the place of prayer. And that would bring you right up against the Holy of Holies, where the manifest presence of God is. And in that tabernacle, there was a veil. But guess what? The veil's gone now. Meaning that we can, through Jesus, through the blood he shed on the cross, that we can enter into the Holy of Holies. You know that that's in Hebrews, don't you? Hebrews chapter 10. So what he's talking about, where God hides us, is not that he takes us out of the trouble, not that he stops all the trouble, but he wants us to find that secret place of his presence, where his light is shining, where his Spirit is moving, where his presence is, and that's going to be our food. That's going to be our food. That's going to be what sustains us in the midst of all of this. Look, even if they come get you, some of us, they're going to come get us. Can I tell you the night, and I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. The night that those soldiers, those Nigerian soldiers, were walking me out into the darkness with AK-47s, the peace of God was on me. I actually said, Lord, if this is it, I'm good. I'm ready. And I thought it very well might be it in just a few moments as we walked out into the darkness. Wasn't my time, though. But I cannot tell you that in that moment, I wasn't trembling. I wasn't afraid. There was no fear. Why? Because my hope and my strength and my life, it didn't even matter anymore. Whether I lived or died, I was ready to be with him. You get what I'm saying? This life is, we make too much of it sometimes, don't we? If they come get you and you're where you need to be with him, I think about that Iraq. I think it was in Iraq. It may have been Syria. I can't remember. But I remember during the reign of terror of, what was that group? ISIS, yes. ISIS. I remember the pastor, they were getting ready to hang. They had the noose around his neck. And he's smiling at them. He was smiling. You know why? He was ready. His heart was not in this world. It was already in the next with Jesus. Jesus is all that mattered to him. He was like, wow, I guess this is it for me. I have finished my course. I'm ready. How many of us would be smiling with the noose around our neck? Or a head in a guillotine? Would you be smiling? What about if they put a gun to your head? My point is this. If Jesus is your life, They can't get rid of you. You understand? And this is for a reason. I know the Lord wanted me to get into this for a reason, because I know some of you are just troubled and overwhelmed and disturbed and worried and fretting, fearful. And I'm not saying there's not reason to be. There's bad stuff going on. There's evil stuff going on. And evil's getting stronger. What did he say here? Though a host, I'm going to read verse 3 again. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I'm going to be confident in that I know him, that he is with me. That's all that matters to us. Let's keep reading verse 6. Well, I'm going to read verse 5 again. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. Who's the rock? He's our rock. He's our foundation. He's everything. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So he's saying here, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be worried. I'm going to go into the house of God, and I'm going to sing to him with joy. And I'm going to rejoice in that I have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one who's going to return and stop all of this evil. I know him. He's the only one that's going to stop this evil. And when he comes back, he has said he's going to stop every bit of it. You hear me? I wish we could stop it. You know, I do believe God wants us to do everything we can to stop evil and to help people and to deliver people that are drawn toward death and destruction. But we're not going to stop it all. I know there's a teaching in the church called dominion theology, kingdom now, and all this idea that the church is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger until we take over and make the world, somehow the church is going to make the world this utopia. But no, the Bible is very clear. The world gets worse and worse. Evil gets worse and worse. Evil men, deceivers get worse and worse. War is declared upon the saints. A whole system, a whole worldwide system that's evil and antichrist and anti-Christian is going to rise up and take over. There's going to be many martyrs. There's going to be much persecution against the true Christians, and then Jesus will have to come to stop it all. Jesus said that if he didn't come and cut that time short, that no flesh would be saved. Does that sound like the church is going to somehow fix the world before Jesus has to come and do it? And listen, when Jesus comes, he's coming with fire, with a sword out of his mouth. He's coming to destroy the wicked. This is not going to be the little Jesus that came as a baby in the manger the first time. This is not going to be the Jesus that hung on the cross. Nope. This is going to be the warrior. This is going to be the one to go, you remember the people you shot up with that poison? You remember the people you killed, you hung, you crucified, you decapitated, you tortured? You remember the children you abused? Yeah, I'm coming back to deal with you. Yeah. And the world knows this. The wicked, the real wicked, I'm talking about the Satanists, the Luciferians, the Illuminati, the globalists, the elitists, whatever they are, the families, the bloodlines, right, of the Nephilim, the giant, they know. He's coming back. That's why these movies, what was it, X-Men Apocalypse? They even said that they made Yahweh, our God, the God of the Bible. And, of course, Jesus is Yahweh, because Yahweh said, I am the first and the last, and Jesus said, I'm first and the last. So that's not complicated for me, right? But they said, Yahweh's the bad guy coming back to destroy us, and we're going to fight him when he comes back. That's what that whole movie's about. And they're going to do it through what? Super soldiers, genetic manipulation, mutants, right? They know. The kings of the earth, Revelation 17 says the kings of the earth are going to gather together to make war against a lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus, when he comes back. They're preparing for war against him. They think they're actually going to win a battle against the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. They are deluded and deceived by that devil, that Lucifer. They're deceived. But they think they're... And you know what? Like I said before, God's going to rope-a-dope them. He's going to let them think that they're winning right before they're all destroyed. Now, it's sad because ultimately, as Christians, we don't want to see them destroyed. But there's a people out there that's so wicked that they're stealing children and sacrificing them to the devil. Of course, before that, doing horrible things to them. And I say about those people, it's hard for me to go, Lord, have mercy on them. But there are people that have chosen such wickedness that the anger of God is just growing against them every day. And he's coming back to deal with it. Let's keep reading this. He says, we'll come in, verse 6, we'll come into the house of God and sing praises. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now I want to say this right here. Jesus said that we would have family forsake us, turn against us, hate us, even fathers and mothers. But folks, you can't even make them idols. Jesus has to be above all that. You hear me? No person, no relationship, not even family can be an idol. And the Lord promises, though, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because of my enemies. Oh, this is so important. This is so important. I cannot stress this enough here. It is going to be absolutely essential in the days ahead, from now on, that you are sensitive and discerning and hearing the Lord's voice and his direction for you. He says here again, I'm going to read this again. Let it sink in. He says to the Lord, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a path because of my enemies. Our enemies are going to be working against us, and God wants us to be listening to his voice and hearing what we are supposed to be doing. Because being in the perfect will of God is the safest place to be, and it's also the place where you're going to be able to help the most people find Jesus and find help in these last days. You have to be doing what God wants you to do, and you have to be where God wants you to be. And the only way you're going to know that is you have to be able to hear his voice, be led by the Holy Spirit, and know the presence of God, so you know the witness of the Holy Spirit, so you know you're following him and not a deceiving devil or some other person that's lying to you. You have got to be led by the Spirit of God. It is essential. It is so important in these days. I remember the Lord telling me this when I was a young man. Do my will.
hear my voice, obey me, and you will affect the greatest number of people with truth and salvation. You will save the most people you can if you're in my will. If you're outside of God's will, you will not be able to be effective. And you throw everything out of sync. Because listen, last night, I remember telling somebody last night, I remember who it is now. The Lord gave me a word for them that there's some new steps coming. And I saw two. There's two steps they have to take. But part of that word was every step is important. Every step of obedience puts you in a place that you can get to the next step. But if you don't take the steps, each step that God leads you, you will never be in His will. You will never be ready. You will never be able, you will never be in the place where you can really help people. And I'm going to tell you right now, too, if you're out of His will, you're going to be out of His presence a lot. Because He doesn't bless what He doesn't initiate. You hear me? He blesses and He moves upon what He wants, not what you want. See, this is a difference. You guys want to know why churches, there are churches that are dead and churches that are alive? It's really simple. There are churches doing what God wants, and so He is there, and there are churches that are doing what they want, but they want God to bless what their thing. And God's like, no, I don't bless and anoint and empower your thing. I bless and anoint and empower my thing. And there's really, that's basically your two Christians. There's two kinds of Christians. The ones who do what God wants them to do and the ones who do what they want to do. Your life is not your own. You are bought with a price. The true Christian always says, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. The true Christian always, always is willing to die to self, take up the cross, and follow the Lord in whatever or however He says. You know that Saul of Tarsus got saved when he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Here's a man with the best education of his time, brilliant, on the ladder, up the political ladder, up the religious ladder. He was a man of his time. And he said, I count it all dumb. Lord, what will you have me to do? And you know what the Lord told Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul? He said, you're going to suffer great things for my name's sake, but you're going to turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. How would you like that prophecy over you? You're going to suffer great things for my name's sake. Not what you want to hear. But you know what Paul said? Yes, sir. Let's go. Your will. See, if you have a revelation of Jesus, you have a revelation of my life's over. It's His will, not my will. I've shared this many times. I had many plans. Many things that I thought I wanted to do with my life. When I was 18, 19, 17, I thought, here's where my life's going. This is what I'm going to do. And when God revealed Himself, when Jesus came down and convicted me of my sin, the first thing I knew from Jesus, all of your plans are over. And I was good with that. I didn't even call the modeling agency back. They got somebody else for my part in Die Hard. Because I didn't even call them back. I just walked away. And I wouldn't change it. You know, and I find myself saying that a lot. I wouldn't change a thing. Even mistakes I made along the way, I learned from them. And I wouldn't be able to share things now that I learned if I hadn't have gone through those things. So anyway, even doing God's will, even walking in God's path, doesn't mean you're not going to trip and fall sometime. Doesn't mean that you're not going to be betrayed, hated. You're going to lose some things sometimes, but it's worth it. It's in that will of God where there's the real joy. Not happiness, because that can go one day to the next, up, down, be there, be gone. Joy, the joy of the Lord, is when you're in His will and you're in His perfect will. And you could be like Paul and Silas, beaten and thrown into prison, but you're in God's will. And that's why they were singing at midnight. Can you imagine singing at midnight after you just had your back whipped? I can't even comprehend that kind of joy. But they were in God's will. And you know something's amazing about that? They got their backs whipped. They got thrown into prison. But that joy, that worship, that praise, when they started praising God, the Lord was like, look at what I have here. It so impressed the Lord that He just shook the whole earth right there and opened the prison doors. Think about that. Now, that didn't fix the stripes on their back, did it? Which is a perfect lesson. There is suffering in this life. There is suffering to do the will of God sometimes. But if Jesus is your everything, you'll sing in the prison. You hear me? Y'all all right with that? Let's finish this, because I felt the Lord want me to go through the whole thing. Verse 12, deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. So false witnesses will rise up. And this is what I love right here, these last two verses. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, the word wait there is a little different than what we think. It's not like sit around and do nothing. Wait there means it's like a waiter in a restaurant. You got your notepad, and you're letting Him give you instructions, and you're ready to go do them. What it means is you don't go do your own thing. You wait until He tells you what He wants from the menu of your life, and then you go do it. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. But He says here, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I want to say this, and I'm not going to go long this morning. I want to say this to you, because I think we need to worship some more. So, Hannah, get ready. I want to do that. Is she around here? All right. I want to say this right now. Like this morning, if you just look at the news I was looking at this morning, this bad feeling comes over you, right? It's like, oh, God. Here it all comes. And, you know, if you look at too much of that, even videos, it's just gloom and doom. All, you know, we know it's coming. We know it's getting bad. But if that's all you look at, you're going to get fearful and you're going to get full of anxiety. It's okay to know what's coming. It's okay to look at this stuff. But if that's all you look at, if you don't spend time praying and believing that in the midst of all of that evil and darkness, there's going to be good things happening, and that you're going to be part of those good things, then you are going to be a depressed person, right? Because I know all this evil is coming, but I know something else too. I'm going to see the good and mighty and power of God in the land of the living, no matter how dark it gets in this world. God's not finished with me, and He's not finished with you. So you got to remind yourself of that. I am going to make a difference. I am going to be a light in the darkness. I am going to lead people to Jesus. I am going to cast out devils. I am going to heal the sick in the name of Jesus. I am going to see souls saved and lives changed and prodigals come home. I'm going to see God move no matter how bad it gets. Even if I'm locked up in a prison cell, I'm going to lead my fellow prisoners to Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? Give him praise this morning. Go ahead. You've got to remind yourself that good things are going to happen in the land of the living all the way up to the second coming of Jesus. No matter how bad it gets, how dark it gets, how evil it gets, you make up your mind, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I'm going to be a person that he can do it through. I'm not going to, you know, I've told people this. I'm all about, look, I believe you should do some prepping. But we got these people that's deciding, now I'm talking about Christians, that have decided they've got, you know, a place to run and hide. Folks. As for me and my house, we're not running and hiding anywhere. If you got a place out in the wilderness somewhere, 100 miles from no one, how are you going to affect anybody? You get what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that's bad. Maybe some people have been led by God to do that because they're going to be able to help some other people that were not saved, and they'll have a community and they can lead some people to Jesus. But my point is, you better know that that's what God wants you to do. I just know for me, God told me a few years ago, you're not running. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I will not suffer your foot to be moved. Basically, I've planted myself and I'm not going anywhere. They'll have to come get me. You understand? I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to keep preaching. People have asked me, said, Pastor Dean, if you win, if you become governor of Alabama, you going to quit preaching? No, sir. Can't quit preaching. And that's another thing. I don't understand preachers that retire. I haven't found this retirement plan that the Lord has. John was preaching and pastoring until he died. Smith Wigglesworth was sitting on a platform getting ready to preach when he just went on to be with the Lord at 87 years old. Leonard Ravenhill was still preaching in his 90s. You know? David Wilkerson. They retire? How do you retire? Okay, Lord, the Lord called you to preach. Okay, and then he said, well, when you get to 62, you get to stop. No, I didn't see that anywhere in the book. No, I'm not quitting, you guys. I'm not quitting. See, I'm believing to see goodness even though I know badness is coming, right? God's going to move. There's going to be revival. And the Lord told me this years ago. He told me that the worst things got, and when the bovine excrement actually hit the fan, that's when people would begin to flood in to the kingdom of God. People would begin, they would finally see that their hope and trust in this world let them down. And there's going to be many run to Jesus. And let me tell you, they're going to run to Jesus, but they're going to run to you to find him. You understand? They're going to come to you. That's why I've told people over the years, you know, I got in a lot of trouble for stuff I say, and that's why my YouTube account's gone. I get in a lot of trouble for these things, but the Lord told me a long time ago, push the envelope, hold nothing back. Why? Because you'll be ahead of the curve. When it all starts happening, they go, well, there was this one guy that kept telling us, and we thought he was crazy, but he kept telling us this stuff was coming and this stuff is going to happen. And you be that person for your family. You be that person for your community or your state. You push the envelope. Tell them everything. Hold nothing back. That's why I've never understood this seeker-sensitive you know, mega church philosophy. Let's water it down and hold it back and try not to offend people and get the unchurched. Yeah, that's worked, hadn't it? We've built big churches of people who know nothing and are prepared for nothing. And in fact, most of them are going to be our enemies because they have been trained to be lukewarm Christians. And that to come to church, you need brownies and a visit. I've never done that, nor will I. If somebody comes to your house looking like Dean Odle with brownies, they clone me, I'm dead and gone. I've laughed. I said, yeah, if you ever get a text back from me and it says, LOL, somebody else is texting you. If you get this, it's probably me. Oh, we can have a little fun, can't we? Do we love Jesus this morning? Amen. Go ahead. You know what? I believe you guys, and this is what, you know, even Skyfall, remember Skyfall 2018? We were in this room for church on Sunday morning because the other one was taken. And I remember telling everybody that morning to take the anointing and the fire and the refreshing that you have and take it back and really stir up your home and your community. And let me tell you how to do that, because I believe you're going to do it. I believe even now that things have, where, think about where we've come since 2018 now. Boy, it's gotten bad, hasn't it? But I believe now you take it back, but this is how you release it. You want to know how you release it? Be as bold as a lion. Be bold. Try to get them to shut down your YouTube and your Facebook and everything. Just keep telling it. Make you flyers. Make you track. Go out on the street. Go to groups of people. Go tell people these things. But always remember, when you're telling them what's going on and you're telling them what's coming, always tell them there's the answer. The answer is Jesus, that they need to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they need to be ready not just for this life, they need to be ready for the next one. You got to tell them, but you got to be bold. Listen, that's why God said boldness. Boldness is what shakes people out of their stupor. When you just walk up to somebody and go, Jesus is Lord, and if you don't know him, if you don't repent, you are going to bust hell wide open. People don't, what? The vaccine is poison. You understand, it's poison. What are you doing even thinking about taking it? They'll be like, what? I mean, I had somebody the other day tell me, I was in one of my campaign meetings, and I said, if you want to take the poison, take it. I'm not. And they come up to me, you know, I got all these little political consultants that want to try to come up to me, and even though I hadn't hired them. And they come up to me, and they go, you know, you maybe shouldn't say poison. Okay. Which election have you won? I had them come up, maybe you shouldn't use the term New World Order. Really? I'm looking at them like, do you understand that I have hundreds of videos and books that have this all in it? Like, I'm going to hide this from the press. I told them, it's like, y'all have lost your minds. I mean, you know, this is who I am. I said, if I tried to hide that, I'd just be like all these other politicians. I got nothing to hide. There's a new world order. The vaccines are poison, all of them. All of them. I'm not even talking to new ones. All of them. I wouldn't be taking a regular vaccine at this point. But we are looked at as the strange, right? Like our governor here said, it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated, folks. Not the regular folks. So us unvaccinated folks are not the regular folks, according to Governor Ike Ivey, right? She got me so many votes that day, my phone blew up, my website blew up. I said, thank you. You're just helping me get elected. You know, that wasn't a smart move in a state that has a majority of people that's not vaccinated. We're number one in resisting that vaccine. So Alabama actually comes into the first place in something good finally, right? Besides football, yeah, right? All right, well, let's stand. Hannah, would you come? I want to do this. Y'all stand up, and we're going to worship the Lord for a minute. Because you know what we're going to do today? Right now, what we're going to do is turn on. I want the blessed be the name. And you know what? Let's just do it for a few minutes. We maybe do it two or three times. But it's such a good song, and it's one of my favorites. It was one that really touched me and helped me after my sister passed away a few weeks ago. But this is it. We rejoice in the good times and the bad. We sing and we praise and we worship and we love him, whether in the good or the bad. And so that's why I feel like we need to just go out of here today on a good note, worshiping the Lord and rejoicing that we know him, that we are going to see good even amidst all of this evil that's rising, even the war that's rising against us. We're going to see good, but in the midst of it all, whether we're suffering or whether we're blessed, we're going to praise him and love him and his name we're going to lift up, and our relationship with him we're going to keep strong. And that's all that matters. You know, I mean, I don't know a better sermon than to say, get close to Jesus and stay there. That's all it's about. And I can't do that for you. No preacher can do that for you. No book you can read except the Bible. No counselor, no psychologist. No. You have to do that. You have to draw near to him. He will draw near to you. And then you'll know what to do. In every situation, you'll know. You'll hear his voice. You'll know. And you say, Pastor Dean, I don't know about that. I've never really heard his voice or be led by his spirit. You can start now. You make that a priority until you have that. Amen. Go ahead.
Streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. The road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the earth, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name of
Hallelujah. Go ahead and praise him.
I just feel one more thing before we go, and it's only 10 after 12, so we got plenty of time. But I felt like when we were standing over here that I just needed to pray for people that wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to be long. I'm just going to let you come up here, and we're going to come down and lay hands on you and pray for you. Remember, Paul went to Ephesus, and he said he found certain disciples. He found 12. He said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And he said, "We've not so much as heard where there be any Holy Ghost." And so he explained to them, and he said, Paul laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. In Acts chapter 10, Peter went to Cornelius' household to preach. Room full of people. And before he can finish preaching, the Holy Spirit falls upon them, and they all speak in tongues and prophesy. And he goes, "Well, these have been baptized just like we have." And what he was referring to is Acts 2. All 120 in the upper room that obeyed Jesus and went back to Jerusalem and waited, all 120 were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the evidence, initial evidence of that, is the gift of tongues. Now, I'm going to explain this real quickly. The biggest obstacle to folks stepping out and praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit, I've prayed for people, Holy Spirit come all over them, they're shaking and trembling and crying because the presence of God's all over them, and they keep their mouth shut. Close. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is not going to make your mouth move. He's not going to make your tongue move, your mouth move, your vocal cords move. You have to do that. I explain it like this. Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter, the only one, said, "Hey, Lord, if it's you, let me come out there and do that too." And everybody gets their mind on the walking on the water. But they forget that Peter had to stand up, step over the boat, and put his foot on the water. The whole time he's doing this, there's nothing in his experience of his life that says you're going to step over the edge of the boat and walk on water. It's completely against everything in his mind and his experience. When you get prayed for today, if you come and get prayed for, and you've been praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, like they had in Acts 2 and 10 and 19, you're going to have to open your mouth and just not go to English. That's all I can tell you. You're going to have to take that step of faith. And the Bible says they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. They spoke, the Spirit comes behind that and gives the utterance. You have to step out. And it feels weird. It's against everything that your mind says because it's not something, it's not a language you've learned or studied. It's the tongues of men. Sometimes it's a tongue of men you didn't learn, like maybe you never learned Chinese. You might speak Chinese. But most of the time, it's the tongues of angels. It's a heavenly language that no man understands. And between you and God, you're speaking mystery. You say, "Well, Pastor Dean, why do I need to speak in tongues?" You don't need to, you get to, right? Or you don't have to, you get to. But you need to in this sense. It helps in your prayer life. The Bible says a man that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That means it's like charging a battery. When you pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, you're strengthening your spirit. Also, when you're praying in tongues, you're praying exactly what the Holy Spirit wants you to be praying about. Even though your understanding is unfruitful, you're praying exactly what God wants you to be praying. And then when you ask and pray, the Bible says he that speaks in an unknown tongue should pray that he interpret. This is privately. You're supposed to pray, "Lord, what's the interpretation? What have I been praying in tongues?" And he will tell you sometimes. That's the interpretation of tongues. So sometimes you get to know what the secret is, what the mystery is. Many times this has happened in my life. I've shared in Israel when we needed to get a plane ticket. Me and my brother, Alan, was here yesterday. We had $1,000. We needed to get from Israel. Two tickets from Israel for under $1,000. Went to the travel agent. She said, "Well, I have nothing. You're going to have to get standby tickets. Come back tomorrow at 4 p.m. Okay. Come back tomorrow at 4 p.m. Didn't have cell phones in those days. So I go back to the hostel, get up the next morning to pray, just come back down the room, just troubled. I'm like, what's going on? Just felt just disturbed in my spirit. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, why am I feeling heavy in my spirit? I didn't know what to pray. So I just started praying in tongues. There's about four of us. I started praying in tongues. And as we prayed in tongues for a few minutes, when I stopped, I said, Lord, what do I need to know? And he said, go to the travel agent now. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. She said, come at 4 p.m. My brother and I took off. We were running. We opened the door of the travel agent's office at 10:15, and she's on the phone. She said, I have two tickets to Atlanta, Georgia, but you have to buy them now. If we'd have waited until 4 p.m., we wouldn't have had those tickets. This is what I'm talking about. But many times some people say, well, how do you know what to preach on? Sometimes I'm so tired and feel so empty and just feel just like I can't even think about. And I'll just pray in tongues for a while, pray in the Spirit for a while. And then the Holy Spirit will go, this is what I want you to teach on. So it's for your help. And you say, do you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven? No. Every time I talk about it, I say, no, you don't have to speak in tongues to be saved and go to heaven. No, 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 no. But I still have people saying, he teaches you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. And I say it every time. But I believe everybody can have this gift. And I know sometimes I pray for people, it happens just like that. I prayed with my two friends one time. One friend on this side started speaking in tongues immediately. The other guy, it took another month. Because, you know, he grew up in a church that taught against it. So he had to overcome that. The guy I prayed for that got it just like that, he'd never been in church. He'd never been taught you shouldn't do it, right? So if you want to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you've been praying for that, you want that, I'm just going to pray for you this morning. And I'll get my wife to come. She can help and pray too. She has faith for this. She loves this. So anybody that wants prayer for that, just come stand right up here and we're going to pray for you before we go anywhere. Wow. Okay. All right. All right, just string on out there. Go out that way. All right. Well, I guess that was the Lord, because we got a lot of people coming up here. All right. Wow. Now, why do we do this? Why do we lay hands on people? Because that's what Paul did. So we just kind of copy him, right? Is that all right? The Bible talks about the ministry of the laying on of hands. And the ministry of laying on of hands is for three things. For the healing of the sick, for ordination of ministers, and for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why we lay hands on people. All right? So we're going to walk down through here, and we're going to lay hands on you. And all I got to say to you is, I'm not coaching you about how to do this, but I can tell you, all I'm going to tell you is, if you feel the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you know it's the Lord, you got to open your mouth and go there. And once you take that first step, it's easy after that. And I remember the first time I prayed for anybody to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord spoke to me and said, they've never heard anybody pray in tongues. This is the one gift, the gift of speaking in tongues, is the one gift you can use at will, because God's given it to you for prayer. So I can do it. Y'all want me to pray in tongues for a second? All right, let's pray. Sotoro resikata brabasete de shidana babahor to sete de kiena radeshina kotorobo reselekita ramata bohor resemediki ora shete bahana bato rekina la ro resaba braba da keina Naro rode kia bramba daba corre sito maraba re candasete ribiki e te bisito roboco rossete ribiki sciatomo. And once you receive, once you step out, it can just flow like that when you get in prayer. Now, did that sound like I was making up something? I don't know what it's going to sound like anytime. I just step out there. And all of a sudden, I'm walking on the water of unknown tongues. All right? So, we're going to lay hands on you. Why don't you place, yeah, just do a song. Do that last song. I love that last song.
Sure.
Do what you do.
Do you.
But everybody just bow your heads, and we're going to pray for you. Now, again, the Lord is not going to make you do this. It's that co-laborer thing. It's you and the Lord. You had people tell me over the years, oh, I don't want it to be me. Well, then it's never going to happen because it is you and him together. You speak out. You step. You move your tongue and vocal cord. It's kind of like this. Let me show you. Let me do an illustration real quick. Come here. Let me use you right here. All right. Now, I want you to walk. Hang on. Just walk this way. Now, you're walking this way, and I can guide you a little bit. I'm going to go here. I might want you to go here, you see? But now, stand still. Don't let me move you. See? You see? It's harder for me to do this. If you start moving, you start moving that way. Then the Holy Spirit can come in and do this. Do this.
Yep.
See? That's how it is. You start moving, and he guides you. All right? All right, go ahead. Let's do it. Thank you, Lord. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. And we lay hands on these people, Lord, for your people, Lord. They want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in their life. Lord, I lay hands on them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would just baptize them and fill them with your Holy Spirit, God. Lord, enable them to have that anointing, that presence, Lord. Lord, stir that gift up and let it flow up and out of them in Jesus' name. Help them take that step of faith out of the boat and move their mouth and their voice and their vocal cord. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, fill more, Lord. Father, we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God, upon this young man right now. Let that anointing and that glory flow. Fill them to overflowing. The gift of tongues flow up and out of them. That's it. That's it. Move your mouth, your vocal cords. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray baptism of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Gift of tongues be loosed and released and flow through them. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Jesus, you are the baptizer. Lord, you want your people to be filled. You want them to be filled, Lord. Baptize my sister in the give her the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right? The gift of tongues flowing up and out of her, Lord. Like a river flowing out of her belly. In the name of Jesus. Lord, right now, baptism of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus.
So generous.
More, Lord. Fill my sister. Oh, recito maradebeke, shito nobo, rosete kiana. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. More, Lord. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Gift of tongues, release, flowing up and out. Oh, in Jesus' name. Come on, lift up your voice. Some of you can just start now. You don't even have to have hands laid on you. You feel the Lord upon you. Lift up your voice.
So my.
Lift up your voice to him, but just not in English. Let him guide you. But move your mouth. Move your vocal cord. Oh, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. More, Lord. Baptism of the Holy Spirit for my sister right now. Oh, Lord, fill her. Fill her to overflowing. In the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus, more Lord. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Even upon these little ones, Lord. We pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. More Lord. Feel them, Lord. Lord, enable them to take that step of faith out of the boat and yield their voice and their vocal cords to you. In the name of Jesus. Lord, now baptism of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Woo! Yes, yes, yes. Fill, Lord. her vocal cords. In the name of Jesus. Borecito morrase que ete borrabasa. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You said that these signs shall follow them that believe. You said they would speak with new tongues. That means never known before. Brand new. The name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Your glory. Your presence. Overflowing. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you up here praying for this. Don't be timid now. Don't whisper it. Don't be ashamed. You say, I feel foolish. Guess what? God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. Amen.
He's pouring out on us.
It seems foolish to the world, but it is powerful in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, fill this man. Baptize him. Fill him to overflowing, Jesus. Oh, let the gifts of the Spirit be loosed and released in his life. In the name of Jesus.
Woo.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Baptism of Holy Ghost fire. Baptism of fire. Tongues of fire, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. More, Lord. More, Lord.
He's pouring out on us.
Yes.
He's pouring out on us.
Yes.
Now he's pouring out on us.
I thank you, Lord.
He's pouring out on us.
Yes.
Yes, he's there pouring it is.
Yes! Yes! In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Tongues of fire. Holy Ghost fire. Yes! Yes! Lord, baptism of the Holy Ghost fire today. Tongues of fire. Loose. Up and out of my system. In the name of Jesus. He's upon you, touch him. Move your mouth. Move your vocal cords. He's upon you. More, 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 more. Fire. Holy Ghost fire.
So generous, so faithful you are, such an awesome God.
That's right, let it loose. Don't hold back. Don't hold back.
So holy.
It's nothing to be ashamed of. All 120 in the upper room, we're doing it at the same time.
You're wonderful.
The church was born in that fire and that apparent chaos. Confusion.
Nothing is sweeter.
Jesus' name. Jesus' name, Lord. Today, Lord, fire. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, fire. Tongues of fire. Loosed and released in my system. In the name of Jesus. Oh, rebesito, robo, robo, Jesus, that's it. That's it. Just speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out.
Comes close to
the glory of God is here. The glory of God is here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Right now, Lord. Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost fire. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Fire. Holy Ghost fire. Burn out everything, Lord, that's not you. And let this young man, Lord, be loose, set free to follow you and to walk with you and to walk in power. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, fire of God, Lord, glory, Holy Ghost fire, fill him, Lord, deliver him, Lord, set him free and set him on the path of your will, the name of Jesus. One more, Lord, God, thank you for what you've done, and so much more you're going to do, Lord. I pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire, the gift of tongues, now rising up in my brother, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands. Lift your hands up. I just feel like you need to lift them all the way up. Lift them all the way. Total freedom. Total freedom. There it is. Porre babama rosito comadaba. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost fire. Tongues of fire. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Loosed and released and beginning in this brother's life, Lord. I pray that he's filled now. Lord, more Jesus. Fire of God. Fire. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Gift of tongues flowing up and out of my brother. That's it right there, brother. That's it. That's it. More, Lord. More, Lord. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. You're just yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's all it is. Letting him pray through you. That's all it is. That's all it is. And when you ask for the Holy Spirit, the Lord's not giving you a serpent or a stone or a scorpion. He's giving you the gifts of his Holy Spirit. Woo! More, Lord. And everybody that's up here, don't leave yet. I don't want anybody to leave yet. The presence of God is here. Keep praying. Keep praying in the Spirit. Keep praying in those tongues. That's it. Woo! More, Lord, more on this one. More Jesus. More Jesus. Holy Ghost fire. Give him more, Lord. More of you. More of your glory. More of your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Jesus, for my sister right now, Lord, I pray. Holy Ghost fire. Tongues of fire loosed and released. Yeah. He's here. He's here. Woo, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. The anointing is here. The presence of the Lord is here.
The name of God is mercy.
You're safe in the presence of the Lord. That's what's so wonderful.
The name of God is
Jesus. More, Lord. More Jesus. More Jesus.
The name of God is kindness.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
It's pouring out on us.
Thank you, Lord.
It's pouring out on us.
Yes.
Pouring
the glory
out
of God
us.
Is upon
pouring
you. He has filled you.
Us.
You are overflowing.
It's pouring out on us.
You're going to see power to be a witness, even more power than you had before.
Pouring
Jesus'
out
name.
Pouring
he gives us the baptism of the Holy Spirit to give us more power. In our witnessing, too.
He's pouring out on us.
Jesus' name. Fire of God. Tongues of fire. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost power. Pouring up and out of us, Lord. That's it. You got to speak. You got to speak. And he will give the utterance.
Yeah. God, so mighty.
teaching you to let him flow. Jesus' name. Holy Ghost fire. More, Lord. More, my brother. In the name of Jesus. Holy fire. Tongues of fire. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh Lord. Fire. Holy Ghost fire. Tongues of fire. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Flowing up and out of your people, Lord, out of my sister right here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, more Lord, right now in Jesus' name for this young man. Lord, fire! Holy Ghost fire! Holy Ghost baptism! Tongues of fire flowing up and out of him. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow in Jesus' name. Let it flow in Jesus' name. Let it flow in Jesus' name. Let it flow. Let it flow. Up and out of you. Step out in faith. That's it. Move your mouth. Move your vocal cord. That's it. That's it. Woo. That's it. That's it right there. Be free. Don't be timid. Thank you, Jesus, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of tongues, Lord, that you give as the initial evidence to help us in our prayer life, our devotion life, even in worship, even in hearing, our ability to hear through the gift of interpretation of tongues. Lord, I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost baptism. Woo! The anointing, Lord, is here. Lord, your presence is here. Feel my sister. Holy Ghost fire. Tongues of fire. Loosed and released, flowing up and out of her, Lord. Your gifts, Lord, flowing up and out of her life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The glory of God is here today. I can't tell you how many people have just laid hands on. They immediately just start shaking in the power of God. Remember when Daniel entered the presence of God, it says that he trembled and shook. It's not strange. The human body can't handle too much of his glory. It's not made for it. More, Lord, come on. Pray for his glory to fall down upon us. We need your glory, Lord. Your presence. Your fire. Your anointing. Your power. Lord, in Jesus' name, my brother, right now. Lord, fire. Fire. Holy Ghost, fire. The tongues of fire. The gifts of the Spirit. Flowing up and out of his life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Woo! Yes, Lord. Fire of God, glory of God, presence of God. We need you, Lord. We need everything you have for us. We need everything you have for us. Jesus' name, Lord, more, Lord, right now. Holy Ghost fire, tongues of fire. Flow it up and out of my sister. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, day of Pentecost in her life right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, Holy Ghost fire. Be loosed and released, Lord, I pray right now that you would just help her right now. Step out of that boat and let it go. Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit is upon you. You speak. You speak. You speak. You speak. He gives the utterance. Woo. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Whew. He's here today. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. Father, I pray over all these right here that came. Now listen to me. How many of you say, I felt the presence and glory of God upon me? Just I want to know those of you who came up here. Now, I want to say this. I don't know. I couldn't hear everything. But let me tell you something. I heard many of you speaking in tongues. So I believe a lot of you stepped out of that boat this morning. If you didn't, don't be discouraged. You know why? Because I've laid hands on a lot of people, and they went home that night. Boom. Or it was about a week later. Boom. Because sometimes the Lord is like, you know what? I'll show you I can do it in church, or I can do it in private. It's not the issue. Nobody's trying to make a show. All we're trying to do is encourage you today. And I knew, obeying the Lord, laying hands on people, the presence of God is going to come on you. But this is for your private time. And let me say this. Some of you think that you have to feel God's presence when you're in prayer. No. You know, you may feel like death warmed over. That's the time you actually need to pray in tongues. Because that's when the Spirit's going to give you. Just go read it. 1 Corinthians 14:3. A man that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. I know many of you were taught in churches it was a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. If my car battery's dead, I need to hook it up to something and let it charge up. When you speak in tongues, you're hooking up with the Holy Spirit, and He's charging your spirit up. This is what the Bible is teaching. I don't care what they teach. Paul said in that chapter, forbid not to speak with tongues. So any church that's forbidden it or said it's not for today, they don't get it. And they've robbed people. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, he quotes Isaiah 28. And the Lord said, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. He said, but they won't hear. He said, this is the rest and the refreshing that I want to give my people, yet they will not hear it. It's so important in your life. And you say, and I don't care. Some people, I remember in the old days, because I remember my great aunts, you know, I'm 53, but I remember them talking about the old days. That once people heard the truth about this, they would not rest until they had. And some of them would stay at the altar sometimes in churches for days and all night because they were hungry and they knew it was the truth. And they're like, I'm not giving up. Listen, some people have wanted to have the baptism of the Spirit with the gift of tongues, and it didn't come when they wanted, and they got discouraged and they quit. Or they got hurt with God or upset or offended with God. Don't let that happen. If you didn't speak with tongues today, it's okay. Keep asking Him. Keep pursuing. Get in your prayer closet. Hey, I wasn't even in church service when it happened to me. I was in my closet, literally in my prayer closet, in Arkansas in 1987 with my Bible open to Acts 2. Going, Lord, if they needed this, I know I need this. And I'm in my prayer closet by myself. Nobody's teaching me how to do. Nobody's telling me anything. I said, Lord, I want this. And I'm sitting there, and the presence of God comes over me. And I'm sitting there just like many have done before, with my mouth shut, thinking God's going to make me move. And finally, the Lord said, you have to step out. You have to speak. And I was all by myself and began speaking in tongues. And that transformed my life. Because let me tell you, right after that happened, then the gift of the word of knowledge began to happen in my life. Then the gift of prophecy began to take place. Then the gift of the word of wisdom. You see, it's like this doorway into a whole new world. And it's important. So don't be discouraged. You hear me? Yes.
Don't let the enemy come in and tell you it wasn't real or that it's insignificant. Dave Roberson started praying in tongues 8 hours a day like it was a job, and that's when his ministry started. So don't let him lie to you. He's going to tell you, he'll do this about your deliverance as well. When you got free of something, you got free, and that's it. And you have to fight for it, and you have to stand for it because they're coming back to try to steal it from you. So don't let them do that with the tongues or with your deliverance.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, remember too, like, yeah, my wife keeps reminding me of that, and she just said it, and I'm going to say it again. Especially last night, if you bound demons and commanded them to go, or you got prayed for, and you're doing this. Remember, they will leave. But there'll also be a day they come back to see if they can get you to doubt it and come back in. And that's going to be, it'll be a bad day. It'll be a kind of rough day. It might be just be mentally, emotionally. But they're going to come back to try to mess with you. And that's what the devil does. God sows the seed of the word, right? We sow the seed of the word, whether it be about salvation or the baptism of the Holy Spirit or healing or anything. And the devil comes and tries to steal it. He tries to steal the seeds. Don't let him steal yours. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this weekend. Lord, we thank you that we'll have baptisms tonight. We thank you for those being baptized in water. And we just thank you for those baptized in the Holy Spirit. We thank you for those healed. We thank you for people delivered. We just thank you, Lord, because you're good. Your word is true. And we thank you for it. We thank you for these new students. We thank you for the students in the school. We thank you for our students that have graduated already. Lord, I ask you to anoint them, bless them, empower them, and use them mightily. And I pray that also over everyone, Lord, that you will anoint us with power from on high and that we go back wherever we are. Lord, wherever they go, wherever they live, Lord, pour your spirit out there and bring revival. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless.